Let me turn. Hey, music is off. Music is off. We talking now. Welcome back to another episode of the Trap or Die podcast, man. This is the post game. Shout out to the Giants, man. Because, god damn, Dustin Hopkins, first off, he was over there celebrating off the penalty. I'm like, bro, you don't need to be worried about no celebrations. Talking about what the Giants working on. You shanked it, and you damn near missed a second one. Both these Jones going wide right, bro. Come on now. Oh, man. Hey, so before we get these call-ins going, man, I want to get the opening thoughts of the team, man, the Trap or Die team. So as everything's going, let me run through the stats right quick. First and foremost, Washington obviously beats the New York Giants 30-29, and it was a crazy finish. Taylor Heinicke goes 34-46, 336 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception, takes 1 sack for the day. Daniel Jones, 32, 249 yards, 1 touchdown, no pick, sacked 4 times. The team stats overall, you have Washington football, 407 yards to the Giants, 391. And then 1 turnover of the game, the late interception of Taylor Heinicke, time of possession, 31 minutes of the Giants to the Washington football team's 28. No significant injuries on Washington's side. We know the New York Giants center suffered a leg injury. Fellas, I'm handing it to you all. AJ, I we know where you're going with the quarterback. So I want Dre to go first, man. Let's get these thoughts going in. Ladies and gentlemen, everybody that's in the chat, your key takeaways from the game. Let's hear them. Let's see them. And then I'll have the call in for you all in a second once these people get it off their chest.
Man, they are right, Dre, you got right now. Yeah. Like this shit is fucking crazy, man. I'm like still drinking and I'm wired right now. Like Dustin Hopkins, I told y'all, like I don't want to say too much right now, but I wanted to go through that fucking screen and choke his ass when he missed that first field goal. Then he was up there celebrating off the penalty. Nah, you make that first fucking field goal. But he made the second one. So it's all right. We won the game. It was straight. Taylor Heinicke got us down the field. He did what he was supposed to do. You know, he threw that interception, but I thought Scott Turner should have ran the ball. So, you know what I'm saying? That was okay. Taylor Heinicke made up for it. He came back. He led us down the field. He put us in position to score. And we won the game. Right now, I have raw emotions. So I haven't, you know, dissected the game or looked at the stats. So I don't even care about stats right now. We won the game. We beat the Giants. We don't got to hear no more of that Daniel Jones bullshit. Right now, we good. I'm
all right
right now.
AJ, go ahead. It's your turn, boss. Let us know where you at with this game, man.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not even gonna go off on Dustin Hopkins, man. We know you some shit. This Tuesday, I was asking why were you still employed? You know, at the end of the day, Scott Turner and Taylor Heinicke, they pretty much almost cost us this game. Like, you have a 4-minute offense and you have to lead. Why are you throwing the ball on second down? You're supposed to run the clock down, like, point blank, period. You put your quarterback and your team in a bad position, and you know he's been, like, inaccurate all night. That could have killed the game. Like, if they score a touchdown off of that, that's game. You know, like, man, there's just so many different things to dissect in this game, bro. It's just like, like I said, before we started this, like, both of them deserve to lose. And, like, honestly, like, they both were poorly managed by both sides of the ball, offensively and defensively. It was just a game of luck, honestly.
So, you know there is a lot.
Hold up. I wanted to counteract one thing, AJ, about AJ. We put up 30 points on offense today. Like, we don't normally do that. I mean, I know that's not something we should always just celebrate, you know, but it's something. Like, I mean, the defense, I felt like we're not in this game if it wasn't for Heinicke, in a sense, you know. And even Scott Turner, I got to say, he, you know, up until that point, it was a bad, I do agree that was a really bad call at the close to the end of the game where Taylor throws the interception. But they scored 30 points today, and I thought the defense was bad for the most part again for 2 weeks in a row in this game, and I thought the offense saved our ass today.
Okay, I thought it was about to be a rebuttal. All right, so,
I mean,
so look,
I'm not a rebuttal, but I'll let you do your little wholesome thing.
I'm gonna do my little hosting thing right quick. All right, back. Because look, I think there's a few ways we can go with this thing, and I think like my overall assessment, if we can do storylines for how this thing is gonna go, and we talked about this pregame, Jerry, Heinicke, the storyline is simply gonna be Heinicke came in, he led the team to a W, but at the same time the defense continues to be a problem and will be a problem for at least the foreseeable future based on how these things have been going the past 2 weeks, man. And to talk about some positives, man, I think that the best thing that we can really focus on is how Scott Turner, I think, in my opinion, how he approached how he attacked the defense. He attacked it from all angles, specifically using Terry McLaurin and Logan Thomas and J.D. McKissick, like using your playmakers to make sure that you move the ball. Like, you're not forcing things down the field. Diami got some targets, which is really good. But you're using these guys who made plays for you throughout the season last year, and you're going to emphasize these guys and make sure that they get the job done for you. And I think that's the best thing that happened tonight, or best thing that came out of the night offensively, is that you didn't hesitate from the get-go. You got these guys involved, man, and ended up producing 400 yards of offense against the New York Giants defense and 30 points. So with that being said, we'll go ahead and yes, Dusty a win is a win. Danny Dimes, Danny Vick, he definitely torched us. There's a lot of things that we're talking about. First and foremost, for everybody who wants to call in, we do have the number. That's 443-242-4479. I'll put the number in the chat as well. That is 443-242-4479. And just for a second, I'm going to change the scene. Where is that? Just in case somebody calls in. There we go. All right. So, let's go ahead and take things off with the I guess the biggest part or biggest. Let's start with the positives, man. We ain't about to. We're gonna talk about the defense for a second, but we'll get to that. Offensively, AJ. What stood out to you about the game plan? Oh, we got a call already. Never mind. All right, here we go. Let me make sure everything is working. Boom. Hold on 1 second. All right, merge call. All right. Hold on 1 second. Let me make sure everything is working. Let me hear something from y'all right quick. Fellas, Jay, AJ.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, cool. All right, so we do got a call. I just wanted to make sure we had the audio on the stream side. All right, hello, who's this?
Hey, yo, what's good? This your boy Con Artist New, better known as New baby. What's good, fellas?
What up, boy? How you feeling, man? How you feeling, bro? Appreciate you calling in.
Cowboys on a regular basis. Twitter, you know, we Twitter fam and everything out here, so. Man, I had to call in and check y'all out, bro. I don't even know how to feel right now, bro. I really don't. This is crazy. This is crazy. We normally come on the other side of these things, right? I mean, like, bro, like.
I mean, we damn near was again. the interception and the missed field goal.
I mean, come on. Yo, y'all know that feeling? We done been there, bro. Like, y'all know that feeling every single time, bro. We doing pretty good against the Chargers, not having the best of games, right? But we still got the lead, and your boy Gibby fumbled in our own territory. Yep. So you already knew like where that was going. Like, here we go again. Then Heinicke not having a bomb game, bro. Heinicke hooping today.
Did we watch the same game? I knew AJ was gonna say something.
y'all be so caught up in these stats instead of like looking at the actual game plan. Like the gameplay, like he won. He involved.
You won the game. They
bruh,
won.
Bruh, let me tell you something, man. Let me tell you something. All right, so we talking about stats, right? The stats that's important in this particular game here are those two touchdowns. Especially that touchdown to Ricky Seals-Jones. Now, that on that play alone, they started at 25, right? So that's 75 yards of yardage that Heinicke added to his stats. He ended up with 336, 34 for 46, two touchdowns and that interception. I'm not even going to put on him. I'm going to put that shit on Turner, bro. Because he ain't had no business throwing the football at that point in time. None. You got 6 yards in the first play with the run. Yo, keep pounding it, bro. To take a phrase from the Panthers, keep pounding it. You know what I'm saying? Run the joint out. Run your four-minute offense. Run your four-minute offense. This wasn't a situation where Taylor was getting garbage stats like your boy. He will remain nameless because I know what y'all know. I know y'all know what I'm talking about. This ain't no garbage stats. This man legit gave us – this man legit hooped when we needed it the most. And I will go on record and say this because – I was one of the main ones on Twitter this week. Was like, "Yo, I'm giving Heinicke a wait and see approach because I don't know. I'm not ready to crown nobody right now. I still feel like we don't have our QB of the future just yet. But for the time being, Heinicke is QB one. That's all I gotta say.
Oh, yeah, AJ, go ahead. You got it.
Okay, so because you see the stats and because you believe he balled with the two touchdowns, he also missed out on scoring two other touchdowns to DeAndre Carter and Cam Sims, and he also threw the game away pretty much. If it wasn't for some penalties, this would be an L. We'd be on here having a whole different conversation. We'd be 0-2. So it's like you can't forget about those aspects of the game where – there should have been more turnovers on his end from the high passes, the tip balls, different things of that nature. Mm-hmm. Like, I think, mm-hmm. like, sometimes we get blindsided by either the W or some of these stats. But, like, overall, the Giants definitely missed out on making more plays on him.
Hey, Jay. Can I respond to my man real quick? I got to respond.
Go ahead.
So, AJ. So we can play the what-if game all day, right? You just said Heinicke sells some passes. I give you that. He did. He was not – there were times he was not as accurate as I would have liked for him to be. That's real talk right there. But let's think about – when you keep talking about the what-ifs, right? The Giants had four drives that were three and outs that got helped by penalties that were questionable. So if we want to sit here and talk about – the what if this and the what if that, there were three drives. I think they had like about four drives, and I think three of them ended up in points for the Giants. So if we really want to keep the buck, yes, the defense played like ass tonight, but if we really want to keep it a buck and play this whole what if game, let's do it on both sides of the field. Because at the end of the day, had those drives not been given back to the Giants by the referees on questionable calls, maybe the Giants don't score 14 of those 26 points or 27 points. 29, my fault. Maybe they don't score, you know, 10 or 13 of those 29 points. And then the football team comes out with a win that's a little bit more convincing than a one-point win. So we can play the what-if game all day, but you got to play it both ways, AJ.
Hold on one second. So, because I want to make sure, because we do got a caller that's already in the chat. Noop, I want to get you with one question, and then AJ, you can respond. You can make your rebuttal, and then we'll move on to the next caller. Hey, Noop. So I'm gonna ask you this one thing before we get up out of here with you. And appreciate you calling in. This may be a layup of a question, but I just want to get your answer and your reason why. But who was your MVP of today? But also and why was that?
Come on, man. Henny Heinicken, bro.
Yeah.
Henny Heinicken. All day.
Henny Heinicken, baby.
Henny Heinicken. I mean, he was put in a situation, first true start, right? Except for the playoffs, right? He's put in a situation, you know, injury to the presumed number one starter. And he had a short week. So he didn't even have a full week of preparation to even begin for this game. And what did he do? He came in and he just balled. You know, you can look at the stats. Yeah, he had 46 passes and everything like that. But, I mean, that's a symptom of Scott Turner's play calling. Because Gibson was effective in his short carries.
Yeah, he only had like 12 carries, 5 yards a carry.
He only had 12 carries. But he was effective in those 12 carries. So, it's play calling, bro. That's really what it is. I'm going to give it to man that was deserving today, and that's Henny Heineken. That's what I got to go. That's where I got to go.
All right. Hey, Noob, appreciate you calling in, big dog. I ain't expect it was going to be a whole bunch of callers calling in. So I appreciate you calling in. We're going to have AJ respond. And obviously, if you hanging out in the chat, bro, it's all love. I appreciate you calling in, big dog.
Appreciate y'all having me, dog. Much love.
All right, bro. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right, AJ, you got the floor, my man. What's going on?
I mean, I don't know. I'm not sold on any of this shit, bro. Like, I think it was a bad game plan from both sides of the ball. Like, even Scott Turner, you having trouble with protection on your offensive line, and you keep emptying out the backfield. I don't get it. And even on Del Rio, like, okay, we know these are former first-round picks, whatever, on the D-line, but you could still provide them some help and switch up things and bring some blitzes. When he did incorporate the blitz, they got there with Kendall Fuller. They got there with Cole Holcomb. It applied pressure. Like, for Daniel Jones to not have a turnover all game was surprising to me. It was just like we were just sitting back, letting him do his thing. And once we started applying pressure, that's when we was getting the three and out. So, I mean, both sides of the ball, I mean, it just wasn't a good game, like, overall for both sides, coordinator-wise. I think some questions need to be asked about Del Rio's game plan, and same thing with Scott Turner. Also, I need to know what's going on with Chase Young's condition. That's something that I paid close attention to during this game. I mean, a third and seven, you taking yourself out in the red zone? Like, bro, what's going on? Like, there's something going on there. Maybe this man, I'm speculating, maybe this man had COVID in the offseason, and this is like lingering long-term effects or something, but he was gassed literally the first drive. Like, the first drive of the game, he was gassed. And I was at the game last week. I seen how many times him and Montez Sweat kept saying, hey, James Smith Williams, come in, or whoever this other dude named Toon Hill, come in. Like, nah, you're not supposed to be doing that, especially on third downs. Like, that's the main time your team needs you. And if you want to get paid in the future, they need you to be that third down pass specialist. Like, you can't pull yourself out of the game unless you have an injury. But they're literally pulling themselves out of the game because of conditioning. So, yeah, I mean, for me, yeah, it's a W, but it's like, shit, we got Buffalo next week?
Buffalo next week.
Yeah, Buffalo.
Buffalo.
Yeah.
Josh Allen going to be toting that thing. You got to worry about Stephon Diggs.
Hold up, AJ, I thought you ain't like Josh Allen. You ain't fuck with him.
I'm just saying, they made every time they play Daniel Jones.
I'm going to say, the way this defense looking, I get where you're coming from.
They make this man look like he Dan Marino or some shit. Like,
I agree.
Yeah.
It's insane. Yeah. And we got to get some linebacker play, man. Like, that's the main reason that the pass rush is not looking good. People aren't realizing it. They're going to say secondary. Linebackers are leaving the middle of the field wide open. Like, whoever they're defending is open.
You said pass coverage, or you said pass rush?
I want to ask this to AJ.
Okay.
If I told you before the game that Washington would have over 400 yards of total offense and 30 points in this game, would you have thought that we would have won this game, and would you be pleased with those stats in this game?
And before you answer, we do have a call on the line. We will get to you right as soon as this answer is done. So okay. We haven't forgot about you. Go ahead, AJ.
I mean, I really had no expectations. I think, like I told y'all Tuesday, these teams are pretty much the same to me. Tonight proved that. They're exactly the same damn team. They got high and low quarterbacks. You don't know what you're going to get from the defense. You don't know what you're going to get from your offense. They're pretty much the same team, just different colors and a different name. So I would have been like, yeah, that's a possibility. Honestly, I thought they were going to get the win, and that's only because I thought they'd be able to create turnovers, which we didn't see tonight.
Okay, who we got on the line? Hello, is this?
Yo, Zach.
Zach, what's going on, boss man? How you feeling, bro?
What's up? What's good? What's good, Drake? It's your boy. You know what I mean?
Hey, no. Let me say something. Zach, I went to high school with Zach. Like, I've been knowing Zach since 10th grade. So, that's my boy right here.
Oh, yeah. Wow. So, you talking. We talking decades then.
Hey, but let me ask y'all this. Mm-hmm. Why the callers coming on here like mixtape rappers? Like,
Hey, look, hey, everybody, I'm about to say
This is black love, bro. Uh-huh.
Be like, yo, you're okay, man. Let me introduce myself.
Hey, everybody in their zone right now, you know what I'm saying? Right Dre said, hold on, let me pull up, let me get a bottle before I come back on the show. Everybody locked in.
That's PG County. Shout out to
Northwest.
Right?
Hey, so Zach, the floor is yours, my man. What stood out to you today or tonight?
First and foremost, man, hey, Dustin, he got the GOAT. I don't give a fuck. He got the GOAT. He got the GOAT, man. He cracked some pressure, you know. A few years back, he cracked, you know, in England, against Cincinnati. You know, he's not the guy, yep. Man. He's not the guy, man. He got to go, man. He's going to cost us some games this year, and I don't want
He that. Almost cost us today. He almost exactly. cost us tonight, man. Like, that shit exactly. was almost it.
Right, and that was point one, right? All right, so point two, if you want to win, put Heineke in, man. If you want to win, put Heineke in. All he does, every time he gets the pitch, he balls out, man. He balls out. We gotta put Heineke in, man. We gotta put Heineke in. And my third point, this might be an unpopular, you know, situation, but is Chase Young a Vic Beasley? I don't know, man. I don't know, bro.
So let's keep you on right quick. First off, 6-2, 16-26. If you don't mind, can you mute yourself just for the conversation right quick? So now you raise a good point. I mean, I don't think he's Vic Beasley, but I get where you're going with that, in the sense of it's been two games already. You're talking about the number two overall pick, and he's been very, I guess to say the least, very ineffective. That's the safest way I can say it. He's been very ineffective. And to AJ's point, in and out of the lineup, taking himself out of the lineup. I don't know what's going on with Chase. I don't even know what's going on with the defensive line in general. I think Jonathan Allen is probably the most impactful interior defensive lineman that we have, or defensive lineman that we have right now. And that's good. You paid him to be that, but when you're talking about these edge rushers, who is, like we said all offseason, Dre and AJ, top heavy. Like, these are your guys that's supposed to create the pressure for your defensive line for the most part. And you have Chase Young just, same thing that he did last week, man. You just kind of wonder what's going on with that, man.
Right. Last week he got dominated by a rookie. You know, in the playoffs against Tampa Bay, he got dominated by a rookie. So, what's really going on? I think he might be a little – I'm not going to say he's a bad player. I'm not going to say he's a great player, too, that everybody's playing him out to be. He's a good player, but he's not that guy, I don't think, right now. He's not that guy.
At least right now.
I don't think he got dominated by Wirth last year from Tampa or Rashawn Slater last week. I mean, those are elite. Those were elite tackles coming out of the draft, you know. At the end of the day, he really didn't even go against Slater too much, which should probably be more of a concern to you, because it's like you would think.
Oh no, he went up against Slater a few times, bro.
Yeah, but you would think he would want that bump the whole game. You feel me? Because they saying like, yo, that's the man that's stopping you. I just think it's boiling down to how many snaps they really played in the preseason and guys conditioning. They just don't seem like a cohesive unit yet. I mean, it's early in the season, but. It's something going on with that defense as a whole. I'm even seeing Kendall Fuller look basic out there. He's looking real average.
Yep.
That's alarming.
That's a conversation. That's a more legitimate. Like, that's a serious conversation.
So it's just like, I think there's something going on as a defense, as a collective. They probably need more games under their belt, but they don't really have that opportunity to, like, take that break and try to catch up, because you got the Bills up next. What I think you got probably Kansas City. I don't remember the schedule I've had, but you got some.
I can tell you.
Tampa Bay after Buffalo. I think Tampa Bay after Buffalo.
You got Buffalo, at Buffalo, at Atlanta, home New Orleans, home Kansas City. Yeah.
And that's fair. One more point before I get off here, I'm going to let you guys, you know, do your thing, man. But
I feel like we need to keep into perspective, like, of last year, right? Like, what games we had that were good on defense, you know what I'm saying? Who were we facing at that time? You know, when we dominated on defense last year, when we were facing backup quarterbacks and, like, you know what I'm saying, like, Andy Dalton and Mullins, you know, we bought out against them, but against the Rams, you know, we didn't really do too much. Or, you know what I'm saying, against teams that were in there, like, so I just want the fan base to keep that in perspective. Now, I want my guys to ball out, no doubt. But, you know, I got to be real, too, you know what I'm saying, on that hand. So that's all I want to say, man. I'm going to let y'all take it, man. Hey, be easy.
Right. Hey, appreciate you calling in, bro. Showing some love, man. You be safe, big dog.
Appreciate you, Zach.
Yeah, man. And they just stand up. Wildcats, baby.
Yes, sir. 03, baby. You.
Someone we got. hey, look, man. I'm about to say, look, I don't hide from it myself. Look, I'm 2011 out here. You know what I'm saying? Y'all do what y'all gotta do. You know what I'm saying? I do what I gotta do. but I'm sure we got Cole on the line right now. Cole, is that you in here?
Yeah, that's me. What's up?
Yes, sir. There go my boy Cole, man. How you feeling, boss?
Hey, man. You know, listen. My fiance is a Giants fan.
Go ahead, get it off your chest. The floor is yours, bro.
My fiance is a Giants fan, so that's the only solace I take in that. I feel like we look like shit the whole game, but we won, and I hate the Giants, so, like, I'm excited right now. So, you know, like, honestly, like, I had big expectations this season. I feel like everything I thought we knew about the season as far as the defense going has been completely wrong. But, you know, we beat the Giants, and I don't know how many other wins we're going to get this year, so I'm going to enjoy it tonight. But I will say this, until Chase Young proves anything better, he is just Jadeveon Clowney with blonde dreads. I hate to say that because he's from PG, and he went to the bathroom. That's cool, even though that was our rival high school. But, like, it don't matter. Like, I'm so disappointed in our defense right now.
Y'all being so hard on Chase. Like, I don't know.
He the number two pick. Bro, he the number two pick.
What do you mean? Let me explain. So, like, I called the other day, and it's not necessarily Chase. I love Chase to death. He's from PG, all that. I'm always going to ride for him, but we decided that we were smarter than everybody else. We were going to build a defense first team, bro. And he is the number two pick. So unfortunately, Heavy is the person that has the crown on his head. It's up to him. He can't have two games. Like, this is three games in a row dating back to the game last year. He ain't done shit, bro. Like, he's got to go out there and wreck games like Joey Bosa did, like Chandler Jones did, like TJ Watt did. Bro, you can't get – it's not like the Giants were throwing quick passes today. They were dropping back. 5-10 yard dropbacks, throwing the ball downfield. He's doing nothing. There was one play he got knocked on his ass by a tight end. It looked like I saw someone retweet a timeline, bro. Like, that's my guy. But, like, this is what we decided to do. We thought we were smarter than everybody else. We're gonna build defense first. Well, then, bro, that means that the defense got to be like that every game. We won. Don't get me wrong. I'm hype and shit. Like, we beat the Giants. They beat the Giants in 2018. I'm hype. But, you know, I always look at the long term picture. Long term picture. That's not encouraging.
I mean, you can't say you look at the long term and then he put up the numbers that he did last year and you already
got it. Bro, he also had 7.5 sacks last year. He wasn't even in the top 20 in the quarterback hits, bro. Like, I mean, like, I went to bat for him last year, but his number, it's not like he was getting to the quarterback, getting a lot of pressures, getting a lot of hits. If you go look at quarterback pressures and hits last year, you have to scroll to get to his name. You have to scroll.
Chase played good. Chase played good tonight, right? But he didn't get the sack numbers that the fans want because he's not the franchise.
Sacks are not real. I understand that. Sacks aren't real. I want pressures and hurries. He doesn't get those.
I don't think the D-line as a whole really did their thing. Jonathan Allen balled out tonight, but he's also going against a backup center. I mean, I just think it's a scheme thing. Like, they're playing weird coverage. Their linebackers are not even holding their guy for 1 or 2 seconds, so the ball is coming out quick. I mean, I think, like, okay, halfway through the season, I think we could judge things a little bit better as far as Chase, but I just think as a whole, like, this fan base puts a lot of pressure on these guys. Like,
I got you, bro. It's just that, like, I thought when we drafted him, we weren't going to have these, like, those, like, RG3 Kirk
question
Cousins,
marks.
Yeah, where you can see somebody's stat line, and depending on what your priors are, you can go this way or that way. I thought it would just be cut and dry. Chase is lighting it up every week. But instead, we're doing this. Well, if you look at it this way, you know, it's really not that bad. But if you look at it this way, oh, well, he can. And that's always a red flag for a second overall pick for me.
Let me ask you this before let you go. Are you only saying this because a couple picks later in that same draft, Justin Herbert was drafted by?
Oh, no. Justin Herbert, bro. No, people were talking about Justin Herbert as a bust going in that draft. No, I'm not even worried about that. Nobody thought he was going to be that good. I'm not doing that.
Okay, I was just curious.
Yeah, no. I'm not one of those like quarterback or bust people like that. I was for Chase. Like, I was arguing with people saying we should have traded down a guy Isaiah Simmons, all that. It's just, if you want to take that pick, he got broad shoulders, bro. He can afford to have all the expectations on him. That's all it is. Because like, the only way this is going to work is if he's wrecking games like Joey Bosa or Nick Bosa or Chandler Jones or T.J. Watt does every week. If we don't got that every week, I mean, we're relying on Taylor Heineke, bro. Like, that's what we're relying on every week. That's very nerve-wracking to me, bro. And he played good today, but I'm not trying to rely on his arm every week. I don't know if we're going to get that every week.
I agree. And I think we can talk about that a little bit more because there was some issues today just with his velocity and also his ball placement. It could have got him in trouble. It didn't get him in trouble today outside of like one play, but it was a pass interference that ended up being negated. It could have been intercepted. It didn't even get intercepted either, but it was a pass interference on the Giants where a ball sailed high, but he was selling some passes high all day. And it could have got him in trouble, but he got lucky today for whatever reason. But that's an issue. That is an issue. All right, Cole, man. So what is your outlook before we let you go? Just one question. What's your outlook for at least the next 2-3 games?
I mean, like, you know.
You got Buffalo, Atlanta, and then New Orleans.
Yeah. Strange things happen in the NFL every year. I mean, we're going to need one of those strange things to happen to win against Buffalo, especially in Buffalo. You know, I think you can get the Falcons. It remains to be seen with the Saints. But, I mean, as far, again, I came in there drinking the Kool-Aid talking about 11 wins. I'm way off that now. So, I mean, I'm not weak in week mode. I'm week to week mode right now, bro. It's not feeling – the arrow's pointed down. But I'm glad we won tonight because I hate the Giants. So.
Absolutely. Make sure your fiance know that they lost too, and if she forgets, remind her that they lost
right
again.
And act like she ain't watch the game, but you know, it's all good. It's all good.
All right, Big Law. Hey, appreciate you calling in, my man. You be safe, bro. All
right, bro.
All right. Okay, so fellas. All right, so now we can go ahead and transition. I think we're good with the calls right now. All right. So let me full screen this. So we can close out on two topics, man, because this is just like a brief recap, man. So the first thing, we talked about the cornerbacks. We talked about the cornerback in Kendall Fuller, but then also the pass coverage just in general, man. There's a lot of issues that's going on. And off the top of you all head before the night is over, AJ, I'll give the floor to you first. You mentioned linebackers, and you feel like that's a key issue to how the pass coverage continues to be exploited the way it is. What can they do to fix the problem mid-season? I don't see a fix right now. Like, the linebackers are who they are. What do you think is a potential fix?
I mean, I think they got to either scheme up better and maybe play more of that big nickel. Let Cameron Curl come in there and maybe substitute for Bostic something. Because, I mean, he's literally missing all of his reads. When he does have somebody, he's either not getting enough depth on, like, the coverage, things of that nature. And like I said Tuesday, if he's going to play this poorly, you might as well just start Jamin Davis and let him get all the reps. And I realized certain points of the game, they started doing that. Like, third down, they put in Jamin Davis to cover Saquon coming out the backfield or the tight end. And he did a pretty good job with just his natural athleticism staying with them. And I think they have to just scheme up a way to where Jamin Davis can kind of be like Deion Jones of the Atlanta Falcons back like a couple years ago, where you can just like roam the field and be like an extra safety, where he doesn't have to necessarily take on these big blockers. He can literally play pass coverage. And that's a stronger suit. But if they keep going out there with Holcomb and Bosic every week, like teams are going to eat them up alive. And like I said, next week we play a team that literally has three wide receivers that can play the slot and play it pretty damn well. Like, they're some of the top slot wide receivers in the league with Emmanuel Sanders, Stephon Diggs, and Cole Beasley. So I think if you can't stop the tight end or the flats or slot receiver in some aspect and getting enough depth and playing the flats, you're going to be in for a long day defensively, because that's what teams are scheming up.
Yep. So Jammy 301, appreciate the follow. Jarian, I've been seeing you, man. Yes, we got a tough stretch. Jesus, I need some water. Tough stretch coming up, and defense do need to get right, especially against, you know what's crazy? Especially against Buffalo and Atlanta, man. Atlanta they still sneaky. I'm not going to sleep on an offense who has Matt Ryan, the quarterback, a competent quarterback you can still move the ball with, and that tight end that they just drafted, man. It's kind of crazy. So, Dre, I think if there was a positive out of here, man, and I'm going to turn to you with the offensive side of the things. Scott Turner, I feel like there was some changes here. And obviously, this is just an instant recap, man. Everybody's on a high, whether it's what they saw, the elation of a win, or just whatever. Everything that you just saw, you're just still trying to grasp and conceptualize. But what was some things on the offensive side that just kind of on a larger scale, a high level thing that kind of stood out to you and that you were happy to see tonight that you probably didn't really see in that week one game?
Well, I mean, it was just the consistent movement of the ball. I mean, I think Heinicke came out the first two drives. I think he went 3 and out the first two drives. But to me, that looked kind of like nerves. It was like you're shaking off the nerves, you're shaking off the rust, which is to be expected. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and that's to be expected, you know, with Heinicke coming in. And this is just, I mean, he started before, but this is his first start that really dictates the rest of his career. I mean, we're talking about his career trajectory here with this start here, because he's getting a full-time look. He's getting a real evaluation period as to can he be a long-term guy or not. So, I mean, you can kind of chalk those first couple of drives up to nerves. But going on, they were consistently moving the ball down the field, and they did the same thing against the Chargers when Heinicke came to the game. It's what I talked about before the game. Like, Heinicke, this is, you know, he's able to do that. Like, I mean, I know Scott Turner gets a lot of heat. He gets a lot of hell, you know, especially when people kind of like dissect one play or maybe one drive that he may have. But again, if you tell me before the game we're going to have 30 points in this game and 400 total yards offense, I'm going to consider that a success. And in my opinion, I'm thinking we're winning by like two touchdowns considering the reputation of the defense, you know. So I thought that they had a good game plan for the Giants today. Heinicke didn't get pressured much a lot today. I mean, I didn't see him get hit the ground a lot. You know, he stayed in the pocket a lot, which actually surprised me, because I thought he would be doing a lot of more rollouts. I thought he'd be doing a lot more scrambling. We didn't see Heinicke do a lot of scrambling today. I mean, he threw 46 times in this game. So he was in the pocket a lot. He threw a lot. And while we can critique and criticize that one interception where they probably should have been running the ball a little bit more, they came back on a two-minute drill with the ball back, and they called a successful game plan all the way down the field to get a field goal. So I think you had a lot on offense that looked kind of promising today. Like I said, I think you're still a work in progress there. You still got Curtis Samuel missing out there, but I thought they did a lot. I thought they looked really good on offense today, even better than I thought they would look on offense today. I thought if they were going to win, it was probably going to be in the low 20s that they would score. Maybe the defense would hold the Giants to the team. But the offense exceeded my expectations today, to be honest with you.
So, you know, this crazy thing is that we were still 4-13 on third downs. I don't know what's going on with being able to sustain drives from that regard, man. It's not pretty. I can't even explain. Yeah, that, and I just can't explain how an offense can look that inept just in general. On one of the most important downs of football is that third down thing. And I guess moving forward, I think let's put it this way. Let's go ahead and get a quick discussion out of this, and we're done. We're done for tonight. That drive literally almost killed everything that Taylor and the offense did up until that point. That 4-minute drive where he threw that interception literally ruined almost ruined everything that they worked for, that offensive side of the ball. And I don't know whose call it was, but I think so. Let me put it in perspective. At halftime, Ron Rivera told Christina Pink that Taylor Heinicke made the audible at the line of scrimmage on a touchdown run. The touchdown run of J.D. McKissic. That was excellent. That entire drive was flawless. 12 plays, 84 yards. They used J.D. McKissic a lot in the pass game. They used him in the run game. They kept the Giants defense honest. They didn't know what they was going to do with J.D. McKissic. Who the hell idea was it to run the ball? I mean, to throw the ball in that situation. Because with that audible being in play, I don't know if Heinicke checked out of a play or if it was the natural play call from Scott Turner. I don't know whose it was at this point, because these guys, literally, whoever's idea it was, again, it goes back to it. If we want to credit both of them and put them both at fault, that's one thing. But for you to put the game at risk in that instance, it was second down, I believe the interception was, all you're doing is running clock out. You forcing them to use timeouts. You don't have to force anything. Like, what was the point of you doing anything outside of running the football? I don't get it. And for them to have that moment where everything was going well and you wanted to do something, you wanted to end the game on second down, I just didn't see it, fellas. I didn't think that was smart, and I don't know whose idea it was. I hope it comes to light, but that was borderline stupid.
I think it was both of them. Because even Antonio Gibson was open in the flat on that play. Like, I mean, if you're just trying to get some little chunk yards or whatever, like, you could have just dumped it off there. But at the end of the day, I just want to see, as being a Washington football fan, I want to see them play a complete game. And I can't tell you the last time as a fan I've seen this franchise play a complete game on both sides of the ball. Like, it's very disappointing, because I see it happen with other teams around the league and with this particular team and previous teams. I've never seen them play a complete game on the offensive side, defensive side of the ball. And, yeah, man, I just think that Ron needs to have some conversations with Scott Turner. I feel like the scheme doesn't really open up guys too much. I think he tried to force a pass very early in the game. Like, a lot of it was pass. Wasn't really mixing in the run. Wasn't really giving Gibson the opportunity to, you know, get some momentum in the run game and even slow down the pass rush. And then defensively, man, Del Rio, you got to start blitzing a little bit more.
How is it that you can have a quarterback keeper like three or four times, maybe even six times in a game and not know how to defend it? I don't understand how a smart coordinator, let alone very smart and very aware athletes on the field and players on the field, can allow that to happen. Daniel Jones went 9 carries for 95 yards. And he would have had 100 if they didn't call that holding.
Yeah. It's because they're not practicing it. It has to be, because it's like, at some point you're gonna have to hit Daniel Jones. Like, let him know, like, if you're gonna keep this ball, you're gonna get snapped. And it never happened. Like, in the games that we watched Daniel Jones play against Washington, he's always held on to the ball and read option looks. It's very rare that he's gave it away. And it's just like it didn't seem like they were prepared for it. Guys are like not playing their contain. It was insane. Like, every time we play Daniel Jones, we make this motherfucker look like he's Lamar Jackson or some shit. It's like, it's wild to me.
Yeah, man. Dre, AJ, I'll give y'all some y'all opportunity for some closing thoughts. And then we can go ahead and get up out of here. Dre, I'll go ahead and get you started. What's some things that's on your mind that you want to let the people hear before we get up out of here?
Closing thoughts for me: 11 days before we play against Buffalo, and it was so important to get this W tonight, because for me, I mean, I know a lot of people, and for good reason, Buffalo is a very tough team. They were a very great team last year. But again, we have 11 days to prepare for this team. And this is also, like I mentioned before, a coaching staff that Ron Rivera is very familiar with. I mean, Sean McDermott, he coached under Ron Rivera. So this is a staff that he's familiar with. This is a game that we can, I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to say this is a game we're favored in or we expected to win, because obviously we'll be underdogs going into the game. But this is a game with 11 days to prepare for. I believe I wouldn't be shocked if we can come out there and look good against this team, especially with 11 days to prepare. And this is a coaching staff that Ron Rivera is prepared for. So my closing thoughts is 11 days for Buffalo. I expect us to come out and be prepared to, you know, at least compete in this game and give ourselves a chance to win.
I'm curious to see, if I'm not mistaken, I think Curtis Henry can be activated off the IR for next week.
After next week.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's 3 weeks.
Because they say it's three game minimum, right? Or 3 week minimum or something like that?
Okay. Yeah, so, I mean, overall, you know, I guess I'm curious to see how they go for game planning. I thought the offense would look much better, being that Taylor has had a rapport with Scott Turner, being with Carolina and things of that nature. You know, at the end of the day, I'm just hoping that the defense gets better and we start seeing more push from that front four. And we also see Del Real mixing more blitzes. Because like I said, when he mixed in the blitzes, they got home and it caused disruption. So, you know, you can't just sit there and count on, yeah, you got some talented guys on your front four, but you also got to scheme up shit because teams are going to know what you're doing every week. And they're definitely going to eat it up. Jason Garrett isn't one of the better offensive coordinators in the league, but be damn sure that Brian Daboll is going to – he's going to be all over it. You're not going to scheme up things and switch it up and disguise some looks.
Absolutely. So Jerian mentioned this, and he's already hip to it. Buffalo, Atlanta, New Orleans, Kansas City, Green Bay, but it doesn't stop there. Denver, Tampa Bay. You have 8 weeks minimum of Taylor Heinicke. For me, I always said, you will be in good shape if you can find a way to get 3 wins out of this minimum. 4 wins, I will be perfectly fine. But if you can get 3 wins, you're in good shape. Washington got one with the New York Giants. That's my main takeaway right now, is the fact that you got to get two more. You got to find a way to get two more. You got to get one on the road against somebody. And you're looking at Atlanta and Green Bay and Denver. The best chances, I think, is Atlanta. But you got to find one to get one on the road, and then you got to get another home game against a tough opponent between New Orleans and Kansas City. So we do have some things going on here. Welly, appreciate you with the sub. Much appreciated, my brother. So we got some things going on. There's the team is okay here. We're still 1-1. Things are fine, but the defense is going to be something that's going to be a continued storyline, like we've been saying this entire time. We'll continue to address it. But right now, 1 out of 3. We got 1 out of 3. We got to see how we can get the rest of those 2 wins. Fellas, appreciate y'all for joining me during this post game. Everybody that's in this stream, listen, I will be back Monday for the aftermath, a recap of everything that we've collected since the game has ended. 7 p.m. Eastern, I'll be back. And then the fellas will be back on Tuesday for the traditional Trap or Die podcast. So everybody, I appreciate y'all listening. Appreciate y'all watching. If you're on Twitch and you're watching this now, go ahead and follow. If you're on YouTube, go ahead and like and subscribe to the YouTube channel. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Podcasts, wherever, whichever one, Google, whatever, make sure you are subscribed and all that good stuff. 1-1, man. 11 days, like Dre said, we're back at it against the Buffalo Bills up in Orchester Park. I think that's it. I butchered it. I know I did. Yeah, Orchard Park. I knew it. I knew it the entire time. I knew it. Yeah, for sure. So we're gonna keep turning up, man. Dre, I know Dre not done drinking, but guess what? I'm gonna act like I'm done drinking. Far, I mean, Oh, you taking off? Taking off
tomorrow, man. Yeah, I'm okay. Gonna wake up in the morning, letting out my boss. No, I'm coming down with a little something. I don't know what it is, but I'm not working.
Hey, you a smart man. I'm just not.
You better hope your boss ain't on the stream.
Nah, no bullshit.
She should be asleep right now. She should be good.
Hey, nah. I'm about to just fucking. I'm about to just get my alarm clock off, bro. If I wake up when I wake up, it is what it is, bro. They bet it's done. I ain't waking up at no 5 o'clock, bro. But with that being said, man. Hey, appreciate y'all for watching. Back next week, Monday. All right, peace.